Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1531, air date December 10th, 2024.
Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Shiva Iyadure. Welcome. I'm a little bit late. We had a little bit of a technical issue. Today we set up everything. In fact, we did a nice preview and then a couple of little mishaps took place, so I had to reset up the stream. So welcome. I haven't done a stream in a while. We've been very, very busy at the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health, building up our infrastructure to another level. But today what I wanted to talk about was this topic about what is really going on in Syria. That's what I promise to deliver, and that's what I want to talk about today. And let me just do a sound check to make sure people can hear everything all right. But that's what we wanted to talk about today, this topic about Syria, the truth, and the collusion that's really took place there. And most people, it's very, very hard for people to really understand what's going on. So as a part of this preview, which we were supposed to launch it about an hour ago, I put together, with our help of two of our volunteers, a quick preview on what I wanted to present. So let me just play that for all of you so you understand what's actually coming. And it's literally part of the preview that I did. So let me go over to this. So this is what I put out on the preview.
Today on Truth, Freedom, Health, I will provide a systems analysis of what's going on in Syria. This is Dr. Shiva. If you want to save yourself and want to learn how to fight the shadow of the swarm, join us. Many of you are hearing about Syria and are likely very, very confused. The left is promoting Assad, the regime backed by Russia, as some anti-imperialist force, which has been wrong. The right is promoting the quote-unquote rebels as freedom fighters. Neither of this is true. The truth is that there's something much more deeper going on that affects all of our lives, particularly the lives of the working people, and Syria offers us an important historic opportunity. Join us. This is brought to you by the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. Thank you. Be the light.
Anyway, so we launched with that preview. So let me get into this. And even though it's a very complex issue, my job as a educator is to make this still accessible to all of you, but without losing the complexity, but attempt to make it in bite-sized chunks so it's understandable, because it is very complex. So let's, first of all, let's set sort of the overall framework here. Many of you know our Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health, let me play a couple of banners here, is dedicated to some very, very important aspects of understanding how society works. And as a part of that, we emphasize one central principle. And that principle is that those in power, regardless of where they exist geographically, what I call the swarm, those in power do not want you to come to the conclusion that you have to save yourself, that you have to build a bottoms-up movement. Independently and collectively with other working people. Let me repeat that again. Those in power do not want you to come to the conclusion that, there's no Messiah coming to help you, that you have to understand the dynamics of power, profit, control, and how you win truth, freedom, health, and build a bottoms-up movement. They do not want you to come to that conclusion. They don't want you to get anywhere near that. They don't want you to build organizational structures, knowledge, education to understand this. So that's the first thing everyone needs to understand. Those in power do not want you to build bottoms-up movements. And to prevent that, they have many, many distractions. So you don't get your ass out of bed. It's nice to know the truth, which means you can just lie in bed and talk about the truth. But it's much harder or much easier for people to stay in bed read the truth on social media, talk about it, whine, but never do anything. So the swarm, as I call it, does not want you to independently build these bottoms-up movements. Let me repeat that again, because it's hard, even though I say these words, for people to grasp it. They do not want you to build independent bottoms-up movements with your own leaders. And if you go see, as Tony Klaus put up, the Shatter the Swarm video, which I recommend all of you go see, take 15 minutes of your time, you and your family, and go watch that video. It's really the first step for you to gain the understanding of how the few control the many, the mechanics. As someone who spent his whole life in engineering, in systems, in science, in innovation, in activism, I can tell you that the Shatter the Swarm video is the most profound piece of work in a short period of time that I've done that will really educate you. So if you really care about yourself and your family, you'll go watch, go to Shatter the Swarm, watch a video, and become a member of this movement for truth, freedom, health. Okay? So again, those in power do not want you to build bottoms-up, independent bottoms-up movements. They want you to be lazy. They want you to be unfocused. They do not want you to follow directions of true organizations that emerge bottoms-up. They don't want you to follow through. They want you to be undisciplined. They don't want you to communicate clearly. They don't want you to pay attention to detail. All the things that they're doing to young people these days. And that's what's going on. They want you to be sitting in bed. Maybe you can say you know the truth, but they do not want you getting out of bed and building bottoms-up movements. And whenever bottoms-up movements do emerge from below, the elites make sure that those movements get derailed. And the reason those movements get derailed is because even though they're well-meaning, sincere people who get involved in building these bottoms-up movements, they do not have any theoretical framework. They do not have system science. They do not understand the not-so-obvious establishment. They do not have a rich history of understanding history and how to look at history. And therefore, without that framework, every one of these bottoms-up movements will get derailed. And that is a lesson that I want to walk through in Syria. So Syria, with everything that's going on, gives you a very powerful way to actually understand what is going on in Syria. And it also gives you an opportunity to understand how you cannot get lost in the fights among the oligarchs, among the swarm. There are many people I know, well-meaning people. Oh my God, Putin's a good guy. You know, Assad is anti-imperialist. They're fighting Zionism. Or people on the other side, oh, the US and Israel have just overthrown the brutal Assad regime, right? Assad was a bad guy. It was good we got him out. And now there are these rebels. So people get lost when the WWE wrestling goes on among the oligarchs. But this is the perspective that you really need to come to. That is, if you look at the world, again, go watch Shatter the Swarm, and you'll find out that a finite set of people are able to control 8 billion people. And when you really look at the world right now, you will recognize that we truly can have heaven on earth. We have solved many, many problems. There's more than enough food. The cost of technology has gotten very cheap. But the elites intentionally create supply chain shortages so they can keep prices up, so they can increase cost of living and reduce lifespan. They do not want you living long. Okay? And this has been central to everything that we teach. Their goal is maximizing power, profit, control. And among the elites, they have no loyalty. They care about themselves. So I'm giving you this introduction because you need to really understand this phenomenon. And you must make a decision in your life. Who do you belong to? Who are you loyal to? To the working people of the world who actually labor and create things? Or the finite set of elites. So Syria gives an amazing historical opportunity. So one must understand the context of Syria, okay? A lot of people don't even know where Syria is. So let's first of all review where Syria is in relative to where it is and, you know, what are the other countries there. So if you look on a map, okay, I'm bringing up a little map and you can look it up. Syria is in what's known as the Middle East. North of Syria is a country called Turkey, okay? And north of Turkey is a sea called the Black Sea. And north of the Black Sea, straight north, is Crimea, which was just taken back by Russia. And above that is Ukraine, okay? So you have Syria, north of Syria is Turkey. Above that is the Black Sea. You keep going, Crimea and Ukraine. So that's sort of in that direction. If you look to the northeast of Syria, you have Georgia, which is also part of Russia, Azerbaijan. And if you look directly to the east of Syria, you have Iraq. So Syria borders Iraq. And east of Iraq is Iran, okay? To the west of Syria, what do you have? You have the Mediterranean Sea. And it's very important to understand that Russia's alliance with Syria was to get access to a port there, which gives them access to the warm waters. And if you go sort of way west of Syria, sort of a little bit northwest, you know, north is Turkey and west of that is Greece. And if you go, obviously, west of Greece, you have Italy, and, you know, north of that, all of Europe. So that gives you an idea. South of Syria, you have Jordan, you have Israel, you have Saudi Arabia. And south, west of Israel, you have Egypt, right? So in many ways, Syria is sort of right in the center of the Middle East. Turkey up north, right? To the east, you have Iraq, and to the east of that, Iran. South Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and then obviously Israel, okay? So we need to understand geography, which unfortunately, I don't think high schools teach that much anymore, but that's where we need to understand Syria. Now to the northwest of Syria, that's where Turkey is. And it's important to understand that in that northwest region, in an area called Idlib, I-D-L-I-B, I may not be pronouncing it right, but Idlib, is where the current leader, the quote-unquote Islamist fundamentalist, who's now being called a rebel, quote-unquote rebel, al-Jolani's headquarters was in northwestern Syria. So Syria's here, northwestern part, which really borders right up there with Turkey, nearby Turkey, is where this guy, al-Jolani, guy with the beard, you'll see him, some people think he looks a little bit like Zelensky, was hanging out with support from Turkey, okay? Erdogan, who's the prime minister of Turkey. All right, so he's up there hanging out, and he's been there for a little bit of time waging some power struggles there, okay? So I want to share with you that, okay? Now, if you go back to the history of Syria, the United States, after the founding of Israel in the 1940s is an important time. World War II ends. Israel is formed. And in the 1940s period, one must understand that the real war, World War II, was really about the powers of the West, Western imperialism, the United States, Britain, France, against Russia, okay? And we must understand that if we look back into the early 1900s, Russia had a very powerful workers' revolution, which shook the world. For a period of time, probably about 4 or 5 years after 1917, the working people of Russia had a bottoms-up movement, and it scared the shit out of the elites. It scared them so much that in 1918, Woodrow Wilson actually sent close to 10,000 troops to overthrow Russia. Because every worker throughout the world after the Russian Revolution said, wow, the working people of Russia have seized power in a bottoms-up movement. We want that. And throughout the world, many bottoms-up movements emerged all over the world. This had to be fought off, okay? And someone wrote, Lenin was not a bottoms-up movement. Well, you need to be corrected. The reality was that independent of Lenin, these bottoms-up movements were emerging. The Bolsheviks were at that time, their revolutionary theory was that the workers needed a vanguard party. And the reality was that the Bolsheviks were successful. However, here's the reality, that when the Russian Revolution took place, it scared the hell out of the elites. Nearly 17 countries, which many of these people are not aware of, attempted to invade Russia. And you got to go study the history of this. Why? Well, the thought of working people seizing power, people were afraid that this would spread to every other part of the world. And if you look all over the world, the revolution of 1917 inspired the women's movement here in the United States, the great upheaval in the United States. It inspired many, many movements, okay? And the reality was that in the US in the early 1900s, there was a mass movement of the American workers. And it was those movements that put the fear of God into Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And it was those movements that gave rise to basic infrastructure in the United States. If the American working people got any basic rights, sanitation, it was inspired by those workers' movements. Okay. So anyway, 17 countries tried to invade Russia, which many of these people will not talk about. Okay. And that's not true. Some idiot saying Lenin was an agent of the Zionists. That's absolutely not true. It's nonsense. Okay. And so this is just nonsense. It's just a reductionist view of what actually took place. And this kind of nonsense is used to write off the fact that workers' movements did take place. So you have this problem where the historians left and right do not want to really discuss what really took place in Russia. But nonetheless, as history shows, there was a true bottoms-up movement. And when these countries try to invade Russia, Lenin dies. Stalin comes into power, and they were in a wartime model, no different than, you know, after 1776 in the United States, after the revolution took place, that's when the counter-revolution occurs. Many people may know Britain was trying to get back into power. Between 1776 and 1789, the United States went into a wartime model. There was no elections during that period of time. Everyone was suspected as potentially British agents. So a similar thing occurs after a revolution, the counter-revolution takes place. So anyway, what occurred after that was Russia emerged out of that as a bureaucratic state apparatus, not a vibrant bottoms-up movement. It became a bureaucratic state apparatus run top-down. Many people later called that state capitalism. It wasn't truly a bottoms-up workers' movement where workers controlled factories. In fact, the post-1917 revolutionary era took place where the Stalinists took control and it became state capitalist. But nonetheless, the reverberations of the revolution of 1917 sent shockwaves that the Western elites considered Russia still a threat. And in fact, when World War II when the Allies dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, it was really not a bomb against Japan. Many people know that Japan was willing to surrender. The dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima, and there's many, many scholarly works done on this, was really a signal to Russia, just to say, we have the bomb, okay? But in the context of 1940s, is when Bashar al-Assad emerges, okay? And he spoke words of quote-unquote socialism in the Stalinist model, okay, of top-down nationalization and centralized planning. It was not a bottoms-up movement, but nonetheless, al-Assad took the prestige of the 1917 revolution, which is what Stalin was himself using, but it was all top-down, you see? But nonetheless, the West saw this as a threat. And by 1970, Syria, in this case, had built some significant industry, some significant infrastructure using this bureaucratic top-down model, okay? However, by 1990s, Syria decided to fully embrace a quote-unquote a market economy. And when that happened, it created massive divisions in wealth in Syria, massive. And the period between 1990 and 2011, you know, Assad's son, Hafez Assad, was the father. If I said Bashar Assad, sorry, but it was Hafez Assad, almost like half-ass, but Hafez Assad was the father, and his son, Bashar Assad, took over. Now, in that period between 1990 to 2011, this quote-unquote market economy created serious problems and massive economic inequality all over Syria, okay? Massive economic equality all over Syria. And that economic equality, combined with what was going on, if you remember, in 2010-11 Arab Spring in Egypt, and if you've been to Egypt, you'll note that massive unemployment there, Hosni Mubarak at the time, I mean, massive, you know, 20, 30, 40% unemployment among youth particularly. So the youth took to the streets in places like Egypt in mass, millions. And so that spurred the Syrian revolution starting in 2011 and 12, okay? And that was against fundamentally the economic issues that were taking place in Syria. So the Syrian civil war revolution that took place was an uprising bottoms up of working people. And in fact, the Syrian military wasn't even being paid properly, okay? And the Syrian military wasn't even being paid properly. And they, in fact, deserted. And the Syrian military joined forces with the working people who were rising up bottoms up. And they created the Free Syrian Army, which was armed. It was an armed struggle. So the elites in the Arab area, backed by the United States, very important to understand, this is 2011-12, there was an organization called the Syrian National Council. And that was of the elites in Syria. And that was also backed or filled in by the Muslim Brotherhood, which was an Islamic fundamentalist group, backed by countries a la the United States, Israel, through Saudi Arabia and Qatar, started funding these groups. So let me repeat again. So economic conditions post-1990 in Syria spur a bottoms-up workers movement, emerging workers movement, people organizing all over Syria against Assad and the inequities that were being created by Assad regime. So these bottoms-up movements are coming, and the Syrian army, sections of the Syrian army actually defect because they're not even being paid because the Assad regime is looting Syria. And as these bottoms-up movements build, a Free Syrian Army forms, and the elites, what they do is to stave off this emerging movement, they create something called the Syrian National Council, which is infiltrated by Assad and infiltrated by Islamic fundamentalists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and a bunch of other Islamic organizations funded via the U.S. And Israel, obviously, CIA and Mossad, through countries like Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Why? Because those other regional countries do not want to see secular bottoms-up movements coming. They will choose Islamic fundamentalism over bottoms-up movements coming. Okay? So, nonetheless, the Syrian people, even though this bottoms-up movement was emerging, independent of Assad and the fundamentalists, the fear of the fundamentalists was used by the Assad regime and the elites there. It's not like they cared about building a bottoms-up movement. They used the fear of the Islamic fundamentalists. And Russia obviously was watching Assad's back. And it's not like Russia wanted access to the ports. And so they had a warm water port in the northwest part of Syria. That's what they really cared about, the west part of Syria. So they backed the Assad regime because they had their own imperial interests. They didn't, Russia, so-called, people think Russia's communists, they weren't, or whatever they, the Stalinist regime of Russia, they really didn't care about these bottoms-up true workers movements, if they were truly, quote-unquote, communists. They cared, actually, about the oligarchical relationship between the Russian elites and the Syrian elites and using Syria's ports. So Russia backs Assad, and they say, hey, look, these Islamic fundamentalists are bad, and the civil war proceeds. And just to give you an idea, about 500,000 people die. Half of the Syrian population, 21 million Syrians, are displaced. So nearly 10 million Syrians are displaced. Some of them flee to Turkey, neighboring countries. Some of them go to other parts of Syria. It was very tough on Syria what took place during this period, 2012 to 2020. But nonetheless, the Assad regime, with the back of Iran and Russia, emerges, quote unquote, victorious, right? They keep off the Islamic fundamentalists from assuming power. But what they actually did was the emerging workers movement that was coming independent of either the Islamic fundamentalists or the Assad regime, you know, Russia and Assad. If Russia truly cared about working people, they would have supported that bottoms-up movement. They didn't. They really cared about supporting the elites of Syria, which was the Assad regime. But what you have to understand here is here's the United States and Zionism, which through Saudi Arabia and Qatar and countries like that, they were infiltrating these bottoms-up movements through the Syrian National Council and other groups trying to push Islamic fundamentalism, okay? Think about this. The United States would rather support Islamic fundamentalism, same with Zionism, rather than see Assad and Russia in place. But either of these forces, this is a central thing you need to understand, whether it's the elites of the United States, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, or Israel, or whether it's the elites of Russia, Assad, Syria, and Iran, they do not want to see a true bottoms-up workers movement. Why? Because such a movement would spread bottoms-up working people in Iran, bottoms-up working people in Jordan, bottoms-up a movement in Turkey, Saudi Arabia. You see, these elites do not want everyday working people to build, getting back to the central thesis, these bottoms-up movements. Because then these working people would have access to their national resources. They could create a better life. Just as an aside, you have to remember in Afghanistan, there were many bottoms-up movements. In fact, women fighters were begging the United States, help us fight this crazy Islamic fundamentalist called the Taliban. And it was the United States, Trump and Biden, who made sure that those Taliban stayed in power, complete Islamic fundamentals to suppress these emerging democratic movements. Why? Because Afghanistan, by the way, has some of the most important rare earth minerals in the world. And U.S. imperialism, Russian imperialism, all the, would rather have dictatorial powers controlling them rather than true bottoms-up movements where people would say, hey, this is our country. These are our national resources. So I hope you understand that. Same true in the United States. The elites do not want a true bottoms-up movement coming up, throwing out Zionists, and the working people of the United States seizing the means of productions and really driving the destiny of the United States. They don't want that. And this is a central thing everyone needs to understand. So that's why Syria is an amazing example. The bottoms-up movement came, and the U.S. imperial forces of Britain, Zionism, etc., supported fundamentalist forces during the Civil War against Assad and Russia and Iran. But neither of these forces wanted this bottoms-up movement emerging, so they sabotaged them. So what ended up happening was the Assad, Russia, and Iran forces actually succeeded in stopping this Islamic fundamentalism and quelling the bottoms-up movement, the real movement, from coming up. Okay? Very important to understand this. So this went on for a while. However, we must understand that, you know, Syria had some serious issues. As I mentioned, their economy was tanking. Just to give you some statistics here, how bad it was after even, quote unquote, Assad winning, right? Some of the statistics are quite revealing of what was actually going on within Syria. By the way, you have to understand the CIA spent about $1 billion funneling arms to, and one of the primary beneficiaries was the current group that's now running Syria. And you may know their name. It's, the short name is called HTS, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which is run by this guy al-Jolani, who's an Islamic fundamentalist. But the United States for years, at minimum, what we know about, $1 billion was funneled, and they were the primary beneficiaries of this, okay? And this group was up again in northwestern Syria, backed sometimes by Erdogan. Erdogan was always playing multiple sides, okay? He's a total scumbag, okay? So, but the civil war had serious effects on the economy in Syria. Just to give you an idea, 60%, okay, the GDP of Syria between 2011 to 2021 went down by 60%, 60%, okay? The unemployment in Syria by 2021 was close to 50%. 90% of the population lives below the poverty line. Think about this, okay? So the rise of this bottoms-up workers movement caused the elites on the U.S., Zionist, and British side to support Islamic jihadists in the Civil War. Iran and Israel, Iran and Russia supported Assad, who was also a, you know, part of brutality in suppressing everyday workers based on the numbers, right? But the bottom line is, neither of these people really cared about the working people of Syria. A very rich country, culturally rich, as many people know. I'm not going to get into, you can do your own research on that. But the reality was that the infrastructure of Syria was affected, right, up until 2021. And then, unfortunately, what also occurred in the midst of this was COVID hit. There was a major earthquake in Syria, you may remember, in 2023. And on top of this, you have Israel, Britain, the United States putting massive sanctions on Syria, okay? Why? Because Assad, Iran, and Russia beat them. And on top of it, US, Mossad, CIA are funding these Islamic fundamentalists still, right? So that's what's going on, all right? By the way, 90% live below the poverty line, as I said, and live on less than $2 a day. Okay, that's the situation in Syria up until 2022, 2023, okay? So the Assad regime was not some great regime. So a lot of the people on the left, and in fact, some people claiming to be anti-Zionists, were romanticizing Assad and Russia, saying, oh my God, Assad and Russia are anti-imperialists, they're fighting the Zionists. Okay? Well, they're, you know, you can use the words of anti-Zionism. You can say, yeah, we're anti-Zionist, but you may also be anti-worker. You don't want to see a bottoms-up movement emerging. So Assad may talk about, you know, like he would say the Holocaust didn't take place, whatever, anti-Zionist rhetoric. But at the end of the day, he was also suppressing these bottoms-up workers movement in Syria. So in the middle of this, what's going on? Everyone knows. Russia, which is a major ally in the last year, we've seen this, major ally last 2 years of Syria, has to fight this war in Ukraine. So most of Russia's military forces are fighting Ukraine, which is an ally of Syria. If it wasn't for Russia, Assad would have fallen a long time ago. And Iran is fighting Israel on that front and is also under severe sanctions. Okay? So Russia over here, an ally of Assad, is fighting this battle over here on one front. Iran is fighting another battle against U.S. sanctions and also Israel on this other front. So what does Erdogan do? Now, you have to understand the Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan is a complete scumbag. He's a whore. He's a prostitute to Maximus. Erdogan has his own imperial interests, his own elites, right? Remember, Russia has its oligarchs. Iran has its oligarchs. Saudi Arabia has its oligarchs. Qatar has its oligarchs. The United States and Israel have their oligarchs, right? This is where I want everyone to understand. These people don't have an interest in helping build a movement. So in the middle of all this, Erdogan says, wow, you know, Russia is distracted in Ukraine. Russia is distracted, can't really fully support Assad. Iran is distracted fighting Israel, can't fully support Assad. So Erdogan moves. And what he does is he starts supporting this group called HTS, Al-Jalani's group. So during the Civil War, Al-Jalani and the fundamentalists, you know, were, you know, lost a big thing, but Al-Jalani emerged out of, you know, there were various fundamentalist groups as a kingpin fundamentalist, HTS. And he was positioned in northwest Syria in this region I called Idlib, okay, up in northwest Syria. And Erdogan sees an opportunity. So Erdogan funds HTS, this Islamic fundamentalist group. And in the northeast of Syria was the Kurds. And by the way, sometimes Erdogan would fund them, sometimes he would fund this group. He was trying to figure out where he could strike the best deal. Why? Because Erdogan's vision is to expand Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, just like Netanyahu wants to have greater Israel. Turkey, Erdogan wants to have his legacy as having northern parts of Syria all the way to northern parts of Iraq. He wants to expand the Ottoman Empire. So he has his visions of grandeur, okay? So he sees the opportunity to move, given Russia's distracted, can't fully support Assad, and Iran can't fully support Assad. So remember, it was Russia and Iran support of Assad, which helped him, quote unquote, win the civil war and keep off the fundamentalists. So Erdogan, again, you know, there's no doubt that he was also backed by Mossad and CIA, gives support to Al-Jalani, the guy who's now with the beard, it looks like a little bit like Zelensky, seized power. So think about this, for 14 years, HTS, the group of Al-Jalani, was just stuck up in northwest Syria. They weren't making any gains. They were losing. Because a broad mass of Syrians are against Islamic fundamentalism. So he's stuck up there losing. But in 10 days, 14 years, he could not take over Syria. But in 10 days, boom. 10 days, that's what happened. In 10 days, Al-Jalani sweeps down through Aleppo, and now is in Damascus. How did that happen? That does not happen without recognizing this fundamental reality. The working people of Syria wanted to rise up. The United States, on the one hand, supported Islamic fundamentalism in 2011 in that civil war. Russia, the Russian elites and the Iranian elites supported Assad. And that force won temporarily. But given Russia was distracted, Iran was distracted, Assad is sort of flailing. And it's not like he was a nice guy. His economy, he had created a very set of rotten conditions in Syria. So it wasn't that hard, because people are dissatisfied. They're looking to greener pastures. And with the push of the US CIA and with the push of Erdogan, funded by Western forces, this Islamic fundamentalist group, HTS, overnight sweeps through Syria. And at the end of the day, Islamic fundamentalism, which is backed by United States, Zionism, which is fascinating. This is why I keep saying Zionism. You can be an Islamic Zionist. You can be a Hindu Zionist. You can be a Christian Zionist. Zionism has nothing to do with the foundations of some religious structure. It is a political ideology, which happens to use Judaism, but there's more Christian Zionists than any Zionists on the planet, okay? More than Jewish Zionists. But anyway, these people are all good bedfellows. Why? Again, they do not want a bottoms-up movement coming up in Syria. Neither did Assad in Russia or Iran, neither does the United States. So you have this back and forth between the elites who don't care about the working people of Syria. And so now you have the Islamic fundamentalists who've seized control, quote unquote, control of Syria. And now what you're going to see is a bedlam take place. Right? Because Erdogan wants parts of Syria all the way to Iraq. So he sees an opportunity that he may, in this vacuum of power, sees that. Israel sees opportunities to go from, you know, northern Lebanon up to, right, from northern Israel up to seize land in Syria. The U.S. sees opportunity to get more oil for their oil companies. And even Iraq may see opportunities, you know, or the Kurds may see opportunities. My point is this. No one here is caring for the working people of Iran, neither Russia or Iran, working people of Syria. Excuse me. No one here is caring for the working people of Syria. Now, going back to my central point, in Syria, among these emergent workers movements, they don't fundamentally have any theoretical framework. You see, they don't have the strength to understand these dynamics. If they did, back in 2011, they would have been able to fight off the Islamic fundamentalists and Assad and educate the broad mass of people that neither of these people are their friends. And this is what happens with movements. When there's no strong theoretical foundation and you don't really have a true understanding of the system's dynamics. This is why I encourage everyone, if you do one thing for yourself, go to Shatter the Swarm, watch this video, and then become a warrior for truth, freedom, health, wherever you are. If you truly want to understand the mechanics of how change can take place, but you must have an independent bottoms-up movement. So the reality is Syria now is in shambles. Had those bottoms-up workers movements had the right theoretical foundation of understanding system science, understanding how the forces of power, profit, and control don't care. And that's what you've seen. Russia left. Russia left the Syrian people. Why? The oligarchs of Russia, Putin, et cetera, want to take care of their pie, making sure that Ukraine is okay. The oligarchs of Iran didn't support the working people of Syria. They went back to Iran. And Assad fled. It's not like he was out there taking up arms and fighting first people. He got on the first plane out of Dodge. You see, so the Syrian elites don't care about the Syrian working people. The Russian elites don't care about the Syrian working people. The Iranian elites surely don't care. So all of you out there, if you're watching a lot of these grifters on the internet, they try to make you take sides. Oh my God, Assad against US Zionism. Well, Assad is also bad. And so is Iran, the Iranian elites, and so are the Russian elites. Look what happened. They fled. If you truly cared about the Iranian people, you would have stood there and fought for them. You didn't. Okay. So they were willing to give up Syria to Islamic fundamentalism. And the Qataris and the Saudi Arabians, the Zionists, the U.S. are now, you know, salivating at their mouth. And so Israel sees the opportunity now to start bombing Damascus. They're like, wow, we can get some land. Erdogan is going to get some land. So Turkey doesn't give a damn about the people of Syria. He wants to extend power, profit, and control. This is why the working people of the world can never, must not get involved in the petty fights of the swarm. This is what keeps happening. They draw the working people into their fights. I hope this is understood. And it's very clever. So people in the United States get into, oh my God, Kamala Harris versus Biden. Trump versus Biden, Trump versus Kamala. All these people are scumbags. And they have to do this WWE entertainment. So we get involved in their stupid soap operas and we don't build a bottoms up movement. Exactly what happened to the Syrian people 2011 and 12 and 13, when they could have built those movements, they were caught between Islamic fundamentalism and Assad and Iranian Russia backed Assad, who wanted to fight this fundamentalism. But at the end of the day, the Syrian people didn't rise up on their own. Because why? They didn't understand this political theory that I'm sharing with you today. They thought, oh, wow, better of two evils. Assad is better than Islamic fundamentalism. You see, the lesser of two evils models. And look at now, 21 people in Syria, 50% of Syria, of the 21 people have been displaced, 10 million people. Erdogan doesn't want all these Syrians coming in. So that's why he supported the Islamic fundamentalists to seize back so he could send Syrians back to Syria. It's not like, you know, the United States, we speak that we're against Islamic fundamentalism, but the CIA spent $1 billion to al-Jolani, who is basically al-Qaeda. He may have some minor differences with al-Qaeda tactics, but ideologically, HTS, which is a group that al-Jolani runs, is directly a descendant and is al-Qaeda, ISIS, etc. And the United States funded this. So it's not like the United States elites or the Zionist elites have some, you know, theoretical ideology and principles. No, it's all about power, profit, control. Syria has enormous oil riches. It is enormously strategic to Western imperialism. And that's what they want. So they'll even use the pawn of Islamic fundamentalism, no matter how brutal it is. You saw these guys just, you know, beheading people, really beheading people. So this is what's going on. So what's the lesson for all of us to learn? That all of you listening to this must understand that Syria, the historic example I've just shared with you, gives you an opportunity to understand that we working people must build our movements bottoms up. We must understand political theory, system science. We must go watch videos like Shatter the Swarm. And this is why change will never, significant change will never occur as long as we're choosing the lesser of two evils. This is on the global level. The Syrians were forced to choose, or thought they had to choose, between Assad versus Islamic fundamentalism. Both of them are brutal regimes to working people. Okay? So the fundamental issue here is that the working people of Syria have been brutalized and been squeezed between what they think are two opposing forces, when they're in fact the same forces, but different wings of the swarm. I call it the swarm because a swarm is a multiracial, geographically distributed aristocracy. They may have their differences. Iran and Russia and Assad may have differences with Islamic fundamentalism, but at the end of the day, they leave Dodge. That's what Russia did. Russia left Dodge, Iran left Dodge, and Assad left Dodge. When it came to their own skins, they left. They didn't care about, you know, the 22 million Syrian people. And they fed them to the dogs of Islamic fundamentalism. That's what just took place. So it's time everyone gets their head out of their ass and realizes we need to build a bottoms-up movement. And I'm going to come back with some final summary, but I want you to watch this video. which will hopefully inspire all of you to get involved in the movement for truth, freedom, health. There's no other way out of it. You have to understand political theory. You have to understand the foundations of how all of this works. Otherwise, you'll be continually fooled by people promoting themselves from one wing of the swarm. So what we've talked about in the United States, you have the left and the right, Democrats and Republicans. That's within a nation. But globally, we also have the wings of the swarm, the Russian, Iran, Assad wing, and the Zionist, Islamic fundamentalist, U.S. wing over here. And ultimately, they don't give a fuck about the people. They want power, profit, control, oil, minerals, riches. And they do not have any principles. If Putin really had principles, why'd he leave? If Iran really had principles. So that's what we misunderstand. So the only people that are going to fight for the people are the people, not any of these oligarchs. I will come back with some final closing remarks, and maybe we'll take some questions. But let me play this anthem video. But I want to inspire all of you to go to Shatter the Swarm, become a Truth Freedom Health Warrior Scholar. Our movement is the only force right now that's a true opposition to all of these guys, because we educate people on why we must build an independent movement, why it has to be bottoms up, why you must learn theory. And every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., we hold an open house. And I'll play some banners here, and you guys should come to it. But it's time that you get your head out of your ass and recognize we have to build these bottoms-up movements. I'll be right back after this.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
So I hope that was valuable. By the way, every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., you can see the URL, vashiva.com/orientation. Join us. If you join us, you'll get to meet other people from all over the world. Again, the people in our movement are volunteers, hardworking people, retirees, people who work. There's no freeloaders here. Everyone works, and they do our movement to build this. Truly, workers' movement bottoms up globally. People learn science, they learn the theory. We have communities, people learn how to articulate, they learn how to lead. This infrastructure that our movement has built should have been done 50, 70 years ago, but everyone has been outsourcing their future to the lesser of two evils. Do not understand this dynamics. That's why it's very, very important you start with Shatter the Swarm and learn how to get off the plantation. Otherwise, you know, the bedlam like Syria is going to take place. You have people figuring things out, coming up bottoms up, and they get hijacked. That's what happened in the United States. Bottoms up movements would come up in the 1920s, 1940s. McCarthy era came and branded all of them as, quote unquote, being run out of Russia. And then the left and the right colluded to suppress these movements. Between the 70s and now, the Democratic Party, which claimed they were supporting workers, has imploded to create the vacuum for scumbags, con men like Trump and all the con men around him, Zionist con men, to take over. So there is no opposition to these people except our movement for truth, freedom, health. And we must build a bottoms-up movement. So in summary, when you look at Syria, understand it is a historical, rich opportunity to understand on a global scale how the elites operate. They don't have any loyalty to the working people, in this case, the working people of Syria. Again, to those of you joining in today's conversation, we wanted to have a discussion about Syria, the truth, the Zionist, U.S., Trump, Biden, Russia, Assad, jihadist collusion. That's what this was. They all may seem like they're against each other, but ultimately they all colluded to make sure that the working people didn't rise up. And to all of you pro-Assad people think he's anti-imperialist, he didn't support those bottoms-up workers' movements. He basically made people afraid of the jihadists to maintain his power. If he truly had cared, he would have fueled and funded and armed these bottoms-up movements of working people. And that would have been the way that you would have truly done service to the Syrian people and stopped Islamic fundamentalism. But that's what you have, right? This is what happens when people make these theoretical errors. They don't recognize we have to build these bottoms-up movements, independent movements. And as many of you know, this is why I'm probably the most shadow banned person on the internet right now. They put me back on, but they put me in a digital cage because they know, I know, and our movement knows that we have to build independent bottoms-up movements. That's why they won't even whisper my name. In this recent presidential election, I mean, we got on the ballot as write-in or listed in, even as a naturalized citizen, which is historic, but they dare not whisper my name or our movement's name because they don't want to give visibility to the true movements that are emerging bottoms up. So the only way forward is offline and each one of you to understand this and learn. And no one has any excuse right now to say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, you know? We'll tell you exactly what to do. Step one, go to Shatter the Swarm. Become a warrior scholar. Come to our orientation that we do every Thursdays, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. That's what needs to be done. So I hope this was valuable. Let me see if there's any questions. If anyone have any questions, again, in summary here, a bottoms-up movement was emerging. Both wings of the swarm, the Iranian Assad Russia wing versus the Zionist Islamic fundamentalist, you know, Qatari Saudi Arabian wing, did not want this movement to merge. They were more concerned about them maintaining power. So at one point, Assad, Russia was winning. Then they left. Now the Islamic fundamentalists are right now winning. And the next phase is all these imperial powers are going to just like vultures split up Syria for their own interests. Erdogan will take some peace. Israel will take one piece. But they don't give a damn about the Syrian people. But that's what happens when we, the working people, do not have the strength and the fortitude and the focus to build these bottoms-up movements. The good news is the movement for truth, freedom, health exists. Come to our orientation. Learn how to fight. Learn that we have to raise consciousness, as I try to share with you in today's talk, that you can't take sides among the swarm. It's really stupid to say, oh, Putin is better. The Iranians are better, you know, or Saudi Arabia is better. Trump is better. It's all bullshit. They're all on the same team, guys. They have their internal fiefdoms, which have nothing to do with our concerns. Okay? So I wish for all of you, given what I've shared, you review this video, you share it with your friends, and you guys get off your butts and stop mentally masturbating like someone's doing here, just talking nonsense. But many of these people who are having these polemics don't want to get on the ground and build these bottoms-up movements. That's what we're doing. So get involved, get involved, get involved. You have no excuse not to get involved. Otherwise, you're not part of the solution. You're actually perpetuating the problem by thinking this left-right, one wing of the swarm versus the other. Anyway, I hope this is valuable, everyone. Be well, be the light. Get organized and join this fight. I want to, if you have any other questions, please come to our open house that we do every week, Thursdays. Be well.